Centennial Parliament, San Antonio, Texas.
Matt Damon!
Stop all the downloading!
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 76, for March 20th, 2014. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like This Spanish Announce Table, Fight Show Live, and Trending Mobile Technology. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School, and before we get into the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is a site where you can listen, download, and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy. OldSchoolMovies2@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at OldMovies.net. That's OldMoviesDOTnet. So without further ado, let's introduce our panel for this week. We've got our Iron Man, Mr. Heavyset.
Correction, we don't cover all news. We don't cover porn, unless you consider gay porn, but that's what Will is here for.
We've got Kebo Trek.
Thanks for having me.
We've got Cart. And we've got Will.
Will here. Will, your gay porn needs.
Let's get into the news.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
Captain America 3 to square off with Batman versus Superman in May 2016. Amazing Spider-Man producers discuss Venom and Sinister Six plans. Oscar winner Lupita Nyong'o up for a Star Wars Episode 7 role. Bryan Singer promises mutant mass destruction in X-Men Apocalypse. Captain America Sebastian Stan reveals he has a 9-picture deal with Marvel Studios. And Maggie Grace confirmed for Taken 3. Yes, that's right. The third iteration of Taken is coming out very soon. Heavyset, what would you like to discuss this week?
I thought the third Taken was just came out in theaters nonstop.
Taken on a plane, yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's two Captain America's news stories. I'm torn between both, but I'm going to go with Captain America 3.
It's no secret that Marvel Studios is very happy with how the upcoming Captain America Winter Soldier turned out. We are still a couple of weeks away from the film hitting theaters nationwide, but already directors Joe and Anthony Russo have signed on to direct the next sequel in the Captain America solo franchise, and scribes Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely are coming back to write the script. The only key piece of the puzzle that was missing for Captain America 3 was a release date, but now that has been confirmed. The Hollywood Reporter has learned that Marvel Studios has penciled in Captain America 3 in as the film that they will be putting in theaters on May 6th, 2016. This will make the untitled sequel the second movie of the Marvel Cinematic Universe's Phase 3, which kicks off just a few months after the release of The Avengers, Age of Ultron, and Edgar Wright's Ant-Man. Chris Evans, who signed a 6-picture deal with Marvel back when he first signed on to play Captain America, will presumably be back to play in the starring role, but at this point, it's impossible to say who will be part of the supporting cast. The biggest news of this heavy is that it's actually going to fall on the same day as Batman vs. Superman is going to get released. And so the question is, you know, they're playing chicken. Who's going to back off first? Heavy set, do you think Captain America will back off, or do you think Batman's going to back off of that May release date?
These are my two favorite franchises when it comes to comic book movies. Marvel, Captain America, one of my favorites, and Batman is my hands-down number one favorite superhero of all the times. And you know what? Well, when they released the release date for Captain America 2 a very long time ago, I actually put a reminder on my phone, like a countdown, and I remember it being... Actually, I don't remember how many days it was.
A two-year reminder.
Yeah, they put it out 2 years ago for two. Now they're doing the same thing with three. They didn't budge from the April 4th before. And that's one thing that struck me as a little bit odd, because I don't think Thor 2 release date was out yet for it, but it was basically like, here's Captain America. He's going to be at the beginning of April, not really in the summer movie season, not in the May, or at least the end of April. It was just, boom, we're going to put him beginning of April. And like I said, they didn't budge from it. So I don't think they're going to do it a second time around. It's the Batman and Superman, which I have a feeling will get pushed back for one reason or another. And they probably won't even say that it's related to Captain America. It's going to be issues with something, this or that, and they're going to push it back to a later time. I think DC has a better history of that than Marvel does.
The one thing, though, I don't know if Captain America 2 was in competition with anything when it got that date a couple of years ago. Now, the thing is, I mean, Batman, you know, one of the biggest franchises of all time. So the fact that these two are finally coming together as well. The only thing I would say you might be right in that terms of Batman being delayed is I know there's some script issues. It's actually not finished yet. So you might be right on that one. I'm going to throw this to the panel now. Do you guys agree with Heavy? Do you think Batman's going to be the one to back off? Or do you think Captain America will? Or do you think neither will and they'll go head-to-head on the same week?
One of them are, there's no way they're going head-to-head. I'm going to disagree with Heavy, and I think Captain America is going to cave and move to probably 2 or 3 weeks earlier. Just because of the name recognition of Batman and Superman, like unless it's a complete cluster, like unless it's just completely messed up, I just think it's in Captain America's best and Marvel's best interest to move just because of just the heavyweights of having Batman and Superman finally in a movie together.
Does everybody agree with that?
I actually think that they'll both stay on the same date. That's going to be really interesting.
Do you think just because of the hype?
Because the hype of
like
what?
The actual buzz that would draw, the fact that they would both be the same week?
You know what? Marvel has no reason to back down. And DC, I think they're in a stalemate, pretty much. Like, Marvel has no reason to back down. They don't want to look any way inferior. They won't even think of themselves. And DC wants to take, like, Marvel's spot, both figuratively and physically in this place. It was Marvel's first, so Marvel has a duty to stay there, and I think they will.
You know, it's interesting you mark kind of like a pride thing, but at the end of the day, it's all about gross and revenue, right? So if Captain America, say, if they put it a week or two earlier and projected they would make more money, I don't think Marvel would refuse to do it because they would their pride kind of have to swallow their
pride. I don't
know,
but I
think they would do it just for the extra revenue.
I know what you mean, but then again, DC took their spot. DC was ready to go against Marvel, so why can't Marvel think that they're ready to go against DC?
You're not going against just DC. You're going against Batman versus Superman.
Which is DC Comics.
Which is pretty much DC Comics. Very good.
It's a motherfucking Goliath. I mean, it's not like you're, you know, if it was Avengers against Batman, then it'd be something. But this is just one of the Avengers. So I don't know, man.
I don't know. They've already pushed Superman versus Batman back once. There's all sorts of clusterfuck casting.
That's true. Yeah.
I don't even know if this movie's ever going to come out at this point. I mean, it keeps getting pushed back and they're casting these people who don't fit the roles at all.
Who are you referring to, by the way, Carp? Who are you referring to?
Well, Gal Gadot does not make a good Wonder Woman.
Okay.
Jesse Eisenberg does not make Lex Luthor whatsoever.
Yeah, but doesn't Jeremy Irons
I'm
make
even
a good Alfred?
No, I'm even questioning that, and I'm a fan of Jeremy Irons.
I'm kidding, by the way. I know what you mean.
Like, I mean, this just is a clusterfuck of a movie right now. Captain America, it's solid. If they follow something close to some of the Marvel storylines, then depending how Winter Soldier is, we might get a good idea of how Captain America 3 is. So I would say Captain America retains the date, and maybe Superman versus Batman, if not pushed back a year, at least another 6 months.
So you guys sound off. What do you guys think? Do you think Batman will cave? Do you think Captain America will move? Or do you think they'll go head-to-head? Send me a tweet, oldmovies.net. Will, now that we have you on the line, what would you like to discuss?
I'd like to discuss the X-Men with Michael Fassbender and his huge cock.
Okay.
Would it be a mutant cock?
Oh, I like it. I mean, I like what you came up with. Not that I like
it. Do you like the mutant cock?
I'm not going to go there.
Bryan Singer's X-Men Days of Future Past has been creative in its marketing leading up to film's May release. There have been Twitter updates, Vine videos, and a day-long magazine cover reveal that felt like it took forever. Now, Total Film is getting in on the act, offering dual-day covers centered on old-young Charles Xavier and old-young Magneto. We're going to put that link into the show notes. The one thing that's the most interesting is that the future of the X-Men franchise couldn't sound more intriguing because the director is moving pieces around the X-Men chessboard in preparation for 2016's Apocalypse and revealed a few fascinating details about the prequel sequel. So a couple of things. Apocalypse will have more of the mass destruction that X-Men films to date have not relied upon. There's definitely now a character in a story that allow room for that kind of spectacle. We're currently breaking the story. We're almost ready to go. Dan Harris, Michael Daughtry, and Simon Kinberg are in the office across the street from me working on story stuff right now. It's great to have Dan and Michael back. So, Will, I'd like to get your thoughts on this. Your thoughts on the, obviously, the upcoming movie, but more specifically, the two Magnetos, the I love having the two Xaviers, and your thoughts on this apocalyptic destruction coming in 2016.
I think what's going to happen is that, because right now you've got, you technically have two franchises in this. You've got the old X-Men and the new X-Men. And the deal is that I think that they want to phase out the old and in with the new, with Fassbender and, McAvoy. There you go, James McAvoy. But the thing is that you're stuck with continuity issues. So I think what's going to happen here is that they're going to do kind of like a Star Trek thing to have a different timeline, continuity free with this young cast. And what I think is going to happen is by the end of this movie, they're going to end up, because there's like some time traveling involved, I think they will end up in a future, but they've gone beyond the one that the old X-Men are in. So that's where the apocalypse thing comes in. I think they end up in the future at the end of this. That's what I think happens.
I mean, it makes sense, you know, because you can't bring back the old cast.
No, you can't bring it, yeah, so you have to have this new one in a time that you can. And also, the old cast can't intervene, so you put them in, like, a far future. That's what they got to do.
Yeah, which makes sense. And also, you bring back the old characters. People relive the nostalgia and the fanfare of having the first couple movies. So I think it's a great thing.
So, Will, you're saying that there's never been continuity errors in any comic book ever?
Oh, no, there's been plenty. There's some in this actual franchise.
Yeah, so, I mean, right? Who cares what it does in the end? To me, it looks awesome. I'm glad the Sentinels are finally going to show up. I'm looking forward to Peter Dinklage in a big action flick.
But I was referring more to the apocalypse thing.
Yeah,
isn't
well,
that what the Argo refers to now? Okay.
We're just going to have to wait and see how that goes in the end. But right now, who cares if the movie's awesome, right?
By the way, I'm sure this movie will be awesome. It's the one that I'm looking most... No, that's not true. I like Cap a lot. But this is after that. It's definitely this movie that I'm looking forward to this summer.
Not Batman and Superman.
You know what? I am so scared of that movie. I am so scared of that movie, old school. It doesn't... Things don't seem to bode well. It is a mess of a film. I don't...
The script's not even finished. What are you jumping to conclusions
for? I didn't even like Man of Steel. And you got the same director again. You've got... I didn't promise David S. Goyer, who's still on board with this. They don't know if they want to do a pre-Justice League, maybe more, maybe this. I don't know. It's just...
You've got Batfleck. That's all you need.
Actually, you know what the weird part is? That out of all the problems, I don't think Ben Affleck's a problem. I think he's the least that you know the least problem in all of this. I would like to see him in the role. I don't know. It looks weird. I don't know. At this point, Karp's right. We don't even know if that's going to happen. At least what I like about the X-Men is that it seems like it's going to happen. Not just that, but there's also the talk of maybe some X-Force coming in. The X-Men stuff, I can believe. The Bat stuff is still up in the ether at this point.
Karp, what would you like to discuss this week?
We'll jump to Taken 3.
A flustered Bruce Willis running around in Die Hard 2 recognizes the ludicrousness of the given situation, having to deal with lethal terrorists once again, and mutters, "How can the same shit happen to the same guy twice?" Don't the actors responsible for the ongoing Taken series feel the same way by now? Sure, Brian Mills, Liam Neeson, we get that your daughter, Kim, played by Maggie Grace, was taken in the initial film. Then the rest of the family had to get involved for Taken 2. And when that film broke the bank, plans for a third were triggered. Now with Grace agreeing to return to the role, the perpetually threatened daughter, Deadline confirms Grace's return to this series, stating that she is the first cast member with an actual deal in place to join Neeson for what is being called the third and final, in quotes, Taken movie. Because really, how many times can they keep going back to this well? Karp, we were joking around during Taken 2, Kebo Trek and I, that they're going to do a third one. The thing is, at what point, you know, we know he has a certain set of skills. We know that, you know, they've been taken.
Set of skills.
Exactly. So at this point, does he get taken? Does he take somebody? I mean, where do you think it's going?
I don't know, because there's his group of buddies there that are briefly in it each movie. The guys, like, when he first got the job to protect, like, the rock star chick. and he used his connections to find his daughter overseas, and then he even called them again when he got taken and taken too. So I'm wondering if either they get taken or he gets taken and they go to save him, like action movie, you know, group of guys.
How about
have
this?
To save him. And if they're saying third and final, I could see the Neeson character actually dying at the end of this one. So
how about this? How about the, if you remember in the first film, the French guy, the wife, he shoots,
yeah,
there? How about he takes her?
There you go. Well, I mean, there's options to me. I think it's a small little universe on its own, so we'll see. I'm probably going to go see it in the end. I like Liam Neeson. I haven't seen Taken in the Sky yet, so we'll see.
It's very good. You'd like it.
I mean, it's like, that should have been the third one. He should have been, it changed to an air marshal, and then, you know, they hijack the plane. The plane gets taken. That would have made sense.
Like they said, it's a Die Hard scenario. Same shit, different day.
Yeah.
Over and over and over and over. No matter what he does to try and escape it, the terrorists are always on, like,
they keep taking shit.
They keep stealing stuff, and Bruce Willis has to kill a bunch of terrorists or, you know, criminals or whatever. It's the same thing. It's a tried and true method of movie making.
She should live in a bank vault. Just live in there.
But didn't...
what if she has to go save him? What if he's taught her the family?
That's Taken too.
Yeah, that's Taken too.
Well, no, but I mean,
so the family gets
taken. She's 100% badass in this one.
I really would not want to watch that ever. That sounds horrid.
Didn't they say when, like, if there was a Taken 3, nobody would be taken?
Yeah, I heard that too.
Like, I guess it would just be more in name rather than someone getting taken again.
Yeah, but I mean, that takes the whole premise away.
Yeah, that's true.
No, but it's so labeled, Taken in the Sky. There was nothing taken, and we still think it's...
Yeah, but see, that the plane was taken. See, that would have made sense.
The plane was not taken. Actually, the plane was taken
if
by...
If you could somehow involve sharks and a plane, I think it would work.
We should get on the horn with Asylum right now.
The sharks get taken, and they're on a plane.
It's a shark.
And Liam Neeson has a fight with, like, a shark. I can see
Sharknado
it working.
Sharknado in a plane. Speaking of Sharknado 2... Kurt Angle will be in it.
Well, wait. There is a Sharknado 2, right?
It's on the way.
There will be
in July.
But wait, is the Kurt Angle thing a joke or no?
No,
it's serious. Legit.
Kurt Angle's actually in it.
Oh, okay.
You know what Taken kind of remind me of? Even though they're comedy franchises, but Hangover and Home Alone. The first ones were great. The second ones were okay, but when you get to the third one, you're like, really?
I like Home Alone 2 is better than Taken 2 by far. By far.
What are you fucking talking about?
What?
Are you out of your fucking mind?
No, you're out of your mind. Home Alone 2 at least has, like, what you expect. Taken 2...
Where's the hang-up button? Where's the hang-up button?
Taken 2 has, like, her scouting for her dad, like, most of the movie. It really sucks.
Yeah, but because he got taken. She saved him. It makes sense, man.
That's funny. In the second movie, some Turks are after him. But technically, like, all of France is after this dude. Like this guy is not welcome anywhere.
After him.
Everybody's after him.
They all fucking hate
so
him.
Much
all
potential.
Right. Kebo Drek, what would you like to discuss?
I would go with Star Wars.
Babylon 5. By now, we're sick of hearing about all the actors who have met for possible roles in Star Wars Episode 7. But this one is interesting because it's a rising star and a recent Oscar winner. We've heard the 12 Years a Slave star... Chiwetel Ejiofor might be up for a role in the sci-fi sequel, but now his co-star, Lupita Nyong'o, who may be in the running for a lead role. Latino Review first reported, with confirmation from THR, that the actress met with director A.J. Abrams just a few weeks ago before winning Best Supporting Actress.
With director A.J. Abrams?
Yeah, A.J. Abrams.
Yeah, A.J. Abrams.
What's wrong with A.J. Abrams?
Considering it's J.J. Abrams.
Is he like with the Backstreet Boys?
It's A.J. Abrams, man. A.J. Lee. J.J. Abrams, just a few weeks ago, before winning Best Supporting Actress at the 86th Annual Academy Awards. The question is, just what role should she be taking in the iconic saga? Kebo Trek, I don't know about casting both of them. I mean, she's definitely got the chops. She could play anybody, but... Let's get your thoughts on this. Do you think it's a smart casting?
Both of them, no, absolutely not. But casting Lupita would be fantastic.
Yeah.
She's on such a roll right now, and obviously she's a great actress. I'm not sure what she can possibly play, but I think it would get such good buzz for her to be on this, especially because, like, She hasn't been in, like, she's been in 12 Years a Slave, and there's another role coming next year, but it would really...
She wasn't nonstop with Liam Neeson taking the sky.
Yeah, I know, that's the other one. But it would kind of be, like, after the success of, like, her at the, like, on the award season, 12 Years a Slave, it would kind of be, like, her first big role as more of a, like, because, I mean, she was, let's be honest, she was very secondary in 12 Years a Slave, even if she was fantastic.
Wait, what? No.
She was good, but she was a secondary character. I mean, it was Chiwetel, it was whoever else. Like, but like this would be her really a chance for her. Like after the momentum she got, like she has to. Well, she doesn't have to pick her role right, but she has the opportunity to like go from a star to a really big star if she chooses the right role. It's Star Wars. It's absolutely the right role. I think it would be perfect casting,
especially when the franchise is starting off as well with the reboot. So.
I disagreed with Kevbo that she wasn't that she was kind of secondary in 12 Years a Slave. I actually thought she was pivotal to the movie.
That's it for the news this week. Let's get into the. I think most of us have seen this as well, so it's going to be an interesting conversation. Movie review of the week. Need for Speed, starring Aaron Paul. Throw the floor to Kev first. Let's get your review.
All right, Kev. I mean, I really liked this movie. I was pretty surprised because I'm not a fan of Fast and the Furious at all. And it's funny, when I went to buy the tickets, I actually asked for Fast and the Furious, and the guy's like, what movie? I was like,
that's
oops.
That's awesome.
But, I mean, I loved this movie. It kind of surprised me because I wasn't going in it with too high expectations. A couple quick notes. Aaron Paul was great in the movie. He had some really great acting scenes, especially, I think you'll agree, the one in the hotel bar with the...
With Dino?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Like, the acting was just unbelievable. And, I mean, let's be honest, anyone who's seen Breaking Bad knows that Aaron Paul's a fantastic actor, so no surprise there. I actually really liked the British chick. Like... I don't even know her name. I was too lazy
Imogen
to check it up.
Poots.
There we go. But there's, I don't know, she had screen presence. And I don't know if
Well, they definitely had good chemistry.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I don't know if it was her look or whatever, but I really liked her in the role. So, and it, you know, it's obviously, it's important if your two leads have chemistry, like you said. So that was another good point. Really, really great car chase scenes. I don't know if, like, if it was all stunt work or CGI.
It was all stunt work, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Like, it didn't look CGI, so it was really well done. I love the car chases, love the races. For the most part, I thought it was realistic. There was maybe a couple moments that were a bit out there, like, you know.
Yeah, the one that the car jumps like 14 lanes or whatever.
Yeah, that. And
it was ridiculous.
And the plane scene, but for the most part, yeah. I thought it was well done in that regard. Not like Fast and the Furious over the top. I guess the one or two more quick good points. I like that there was consequences for the people's actions in the movie without spoiling anything. I like that we actually see some consequences for once and not just like a little slap on the wrist. And last thing, I thought like all the supporting characters had good chemistry. They were good comic relief and stuff like that. So overall, I really liked it. I only have two real negative points. First one, of course, is, I mean... It's obvious it's the 3D.
That was completely just unnecessary.
The most completely unnecessary 3D I've ever seen in a movie. And that's going to really hurt my rating on it. And I thought aside from the two leads, the other characters weren't given great depth. But you know what? They were supporting characters and it's more of a popcorn fluff movie. So I could ignore that. But overall, I really, really liked it. My rating, I'm actually taking off a full 1.5 for the 3D. Just because it was so, so ridiculously unnecessary and just talking about it's like annoying me. Just because it's not Avatar, it's not Gravity, it's not even like a secondary movie. It's just not needed in a car chase movie. So my rating will be 7 police chases on 10.
Is the 3D worse than Final
Yes.
Destination 3D?
It was worse than everything.
Wow, because I think of every 3, because I like 3D movies. And of every 3D movie I've seen, Final Destination 3 was by far the worst.
What, you talking cheesiness or just unnecessary? Or
both.
Yeah, it definitely was not necessary. It was an extra cash grab. this movie should have been released just in 2D. But of course, a lot of these films now, the post-production 3D, they're throwing it on the top to add the $3 to the ticket price. I agree with a lot of Kev Bochek's points. This was definitely one of the best video game movies I have ever seen in my life. And we're talking a lot of crappy ones like Resident Evil and Tomb Raider and all that stuff. This had enough elements to the game that if you were a player of the game, you would enjoy it. And it was not cheesy, in my opinion. Definitely a great popcorn flick. Aaron Paul is fantastic in this. He's got great chemistry, especially with the female lead, Imogen Poots. And Dominic Cooper playing the bad guy. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that. That would spoil.
No, they know. It's in the trailers. It's fine.
Okay. So it's Dominic Cooper playing the bad guy in the role. It's fantastic. You hate this guy's guts throughout the entire movie. And they have great chemistry, Aaron Paul and Dominic Cooper. I'm not going to mention any specifics, but they have a really intense scene together. And they're really showing Aaron Paul's acting chops. Great car chases. You know, it's not one of these, you're not going to look at it with a fine-tooth comb. If you go there to kind of just have a big-budget popcorn movie, you want to enjoy that. It's definitely worth the price of admission, minus a point for 3D. I will give it 8 out of 10. Will, let's get your thoughts.
I think Aaron Paul was being too serious. I'm glad that you guys liked it for being serious. I would have liked it a bit more lighthearted. It goes too intense for no reason for me sometimes. I just wanted great car chases. I got great car chases. This is like the best car chase movie, I guess, well, since Fast and Furious 7 then. Six. But I actually preferred this one because, these stunts, because it was very much invoking of the game. And I was impressed that they actually kept things, because, the game is just being chased by the cops. So how do you make a movie based on that? And they actually made it all about being chased by the cops. Very literally in this case, cars and the guy. So there was, I liked the transition to screen. That was very well done. I found Dominic Cooper, you like him as a villain, I found him a bit too corny as the villain. Like, if he had a mustache, he'd be twirling it the whole time. Like, it's just, like you were saying, he's evil the whole time. Yeah, but like, it's horribly evil. Like, everything is, it's over the top. Not only does he cause harm to someone, he then marries the girl. Like, it makes no sense. What I really enjoyed was that there was, I'm not going to spoil this, it's actually pretty fun to see. There was another actor we haven't mentioned yet, and he is awesome in this movie. He's a lot of fun, and I miss him in movies. I'm glad that he was in this one. That was a pleasant surprise. I love that it was all stunts. The guy who did is from like a whole family of stuntmen, so it's fun that he's got this great appreciation for the genre and for the medium. So I really liked seeing that. It's kind of a mixed bag. The effects in the film are great, but I don't know, the overly seriousness and overly cheesiness, it didn't gel well all the while. So I'm going to give this a 7 out of 10.
Carp, can I end with you to get your thoughts?
Well, most of you guys hit the good parts. As always, like when it comes to horror movies and any other movie, I'm a huge fan of practical effects. So actually having legit car chase scenes and legit car crashes, even though you obviously know it's not the $2 million cars they're driving, it's just a fake body frame. But still, that's always nice to see. Aaron Paul, Imogen Poots, even Cooper, they did good jobs for their acting skills. What completely took me away from the film was how terrible the 3D was. I absolutely detest post-production 3D. I think it's a waste of my time and their money. So that takes actually 2.5 points away from me. Also, I could have pictured somebody else over Kid Cudi being the guy who's in the sky role. That's all I'm going to say. So I would have preferred a better actor as his comedic fly guy relief, let's say. So for me, it's a 6.5 out of 10.
Thank you very much, Carp. Let's check out the weekend box office for this week. Break it down. All right, Kev Bochek, you're up. Let's check out the numbers.
Coming in first is Mr. Peabody and Sherman, adding about $22 million, giving it a total of just under $64 million. Even with the international, this is not good enough. This movie's going to show quite a bit of a loss, so the studio can't be happy there. Coming in second place down, a steep 57% is 300, Rise of an Empire, adding about $19 million to the total, giving it $78 million. On the domestic side, with a budget of $110 million, while this may not look great, the movie is performing quite well on the foreign market. It already added $158 million, giving it about $240 total. So in the end, studio will be happy. I don't think we'll see a third 300 or the same movie a third time, but studio's happy. Coming in third place, a bit lower, I think, than most people were expecting, was Need for Speed, adding about $18 million to the total. I don't know if you guys were surprised with this. I thought it was pretty in line with what I was expecting.
I thought it was actually quite low.
But
I'm very optimistic with the international numbers. And like I said last week, this is going to be more of an international draw because of the video game appeal.
But do you think it was like because of the momentum of Fast and the Furious, it should have did higher? Or
I thought it was going to do well because I thought Paul would be a draw.
I don't know. I honestly, people are viewing it as a Fast and Furious knockoff and they're not going to go watch it.
That's the problem, even though these games came out quite a bit before Fast and the Furious, right?
The first one was in like the 90s.
Yeah, but that's the problem. The Fast and the Furious came out earlier. But like you said, it's doing well on the international side.
So I don't think they're going to lose money, but I don't think we're going to see another one.
No, we definitely won't, but I think we will see a small profit in the end. Coming in fourth place is Nonstop, adding $10.5 million, giving it a total of just under $69 million. Coming in fifth place, our favorite, Tyler Perry's The Single Moms Club, adding about $8 million. And I believe this is one of, if not the lowest ever debut for a Tyler Perry's movie. I know his movies have been...
No, Alex Cross did like $2 million.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
But did he direct it? He didn't direct it, though.
Did he star in it, or did he...
He starred in it, yeah, he wasn't...
Alex Cross, yeah, but still. I think he was talking about starring.
Oh, I didn't know. I thought he meant directing, sorry.
But this is just, I think we're seeing a bit of a downward trend, especially in, I'm assuming this wasn't a Madea's movie. I don't know much about the movie, so I...
No, I don't see Madea on the cover.
Yeah, so maybe that's his only moneymaker.
Yeah.
But anyway, coming in sixth place is the Lego Movie, adding $7.7 million, down under 30%, giving it a very robust $237 million on just a $60 million budget. So, needless to say, we're seeing a sequel there. Coming in seventh place is Son of God, adding $5.5 million, giving it a total of $50 million. In eighth place, up 348.5%, is the Grand Budapest Hotel, with $3.6 million, giving it a total after 2 weeks of about $4.8 million. In ninth place, adding another $2 million, is Frozen, giving it $396 million on the domestic side. And it actually became the 15th movie ever to gross over $1 billion worldwide. It should become the highest grossing animated movie of all time. And by the end of its run, it should come in at about 9th place all time, which, even being optimistic, I don't think anyone expected that kind of success. And rounding out the top 10 is The Monuments Man, adding another $2 million to its total.
If you don't mind, I'd like to mention quickly Veronica Mars.
Oh, yes, but that came in at 11 with just under $2 million. And while it may not seem a lot, there's a couple things you have to consider. It only played in 291 theaters, so other than the Grand Budapest, it had the highest average. And if I recall correctly, it's released on VOD as well. And
yep.
So I think overall, even though it's only $2 million, I think they might be happy with those numbers, and especially with the video-on-demand stuff. So it's interesting. I'll be honest. I thought it was going to do a little better, like more $4
million. Keep in mind, too, the production budget was paid by the fans.
Yeah, it doesn't need to make money. It already made its money.
See, now here's the other thing is production was paid for by the fans, and those who contributed a certain amount got comp tickets. So do you think those comp ticket numbers involve this weekend gross number at all? Or is this actual paying customers?
I think this is paying customers.
I think this is so too.
A box office. So this is like on top of what people have already paid, which is fantastic.
I guess it would depend how much. I'm guessing it was very, very little, the advertising. Probably not even really anything, because this is more of a...
I didn't see a trailer anywhere ever.
Me neither. And it's more of like a love letter to fans, so they wouldn't really need to advertise it.
So yeah, at the end of the day, these guys will probably make about 5-10 of the studios anyways off the film, which is great. All right, thank you very much, Kembo. Go ahead.
I was going to say, can I throw in one comment? This goes back to the whole Frozen thing. Does anybody really follow the hype that's surround Frozen lately, of especially some of the songs and like how A lot of people are like have done like parodies and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
How it's,
Let It Go. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really starting to think that Frozen is, it's like the Toy Story of this generation, of the younger generation, to where they're going to grow up loving Frozen just as much as like maybe like I grew up watching Toy Story, or I'm actually in between Toy Story and I think Little Mermaid, Lion King, to where like those were some of the bigger children movies of my day. And I felt like this is the biggest hit they've had since then that wasn't following in those exact lines, or just something about it is just really making me feel like this is a Toy Story of this generation. And I mean, we're obviously going to see a sequel. I don't know how they're going to do it, but they're going to fucking find a way.
What's interesting is, maybe you guys can correct me, but is this their first really big non-Pixar hit in a while? For Disney?
Yeah, go
for it. When it comes to their animated movies, they haven't really put anything out besides Pixar.
No, there was Tangled. There was Tangled.
Tangled was big, but I don't even think Tangled was this big. Like,
oh, well, nothing was this big. We just said that.
That's true. I think, well, they've had Tangled, Frog and the Prince.
Yeah,
but I
Princess,
think this,
Princess Frog.
I think this shows that they can make great animated movies without having the Pixar name, which for Disney I think is fantastic.
But I think Tangled already proved that. I think it just proves that Disney is and always will be like the best at what they do. That's all I think it is.
All right, thank you very much, guys. Check out upcoming movies for this week. I'm going to start with Divergent, which is a Twilight meets The Matrix. Let's check it out. Get your thoughts. Oh, you got the dumb.
The future belongs to those who know where they belong.
You're nervous, aren't you?
Why would I be nervous? We're just going to decide the rest of our lives.
You're different. You don't fit into a category. They can't control you. They call it Divergent.
They call him the One.
You can't let them find out about you.
And what if they already know?
Then you're already dead.
The system removes the threat of anyone exercising their independent will.
Mr. Anderson.
Divergence threaten that system. It won't be safe until they're removed.
I know who you are. If you want to survive, follow me.
They're gonna kill me.
I'm not gonna let that happen.
You have to trust yourself.
You're a poor blend of impulses and impurities.
Don't try and define me.
A side note, Cate Blanchett's... no, it's not Cate Blanchett, is it? Who's the one in Titanic there?
Kate Winslet.
Kate Winslet, yeah. Her accent's actually pretty good. I don't hear a British accent there, so that's one good thing, I guess, out of the movie. But definitely not on my radar. I'm not a fan of kind of the Twilight stuff. It seems like a ripoff of multiple movies, so definitely a nay for me. Heavy set, yeah or nay?
Nay.
Kepo Trek.
As the sci-fi guy in the panel, I think this just looks absolutely horrible, so this is a nay for me.
Carp.
Nine.
Will.
Definitely no. However, it's not a ripoff since it's based on a book, so...
Well, maybe the book was a ripoff.
And the book was ripped off of Twilight, which is an Interview with the Vampire, except made it more homosexual and twinkly vampire.
Oh, wait. I actually was going to watch Interview with a Vampire. There's got homosexuals in it?
I'm sure if there's cock, I'm sure you're game, right?
So. Tom Cruise gets a little fruity at some points in the movie.
Is it with Antonio Banderas?
No, I'm saying. No.
Okay.
He gets a little fruity with a little bit of Brad Pitt.
All right, moving on. Speaking of cock, we got Muppets Most Wanted. Play the trailer and get your thoughts.
World's greatest criminal has stolen the greatest treasures, escaped the greatest prisons, and he bears a strong resemblance to someone you know.
It's not easy being mean.
It's Constantine, the world's most dangerous frog.
Check this out.
Ah! Oh, look, it's Kermit.
Ah! Ah! What did you do with Kermit? There must be some mistake. I'm Kermit the Frog. I'm not Constantine.
You're going to be here a while.
Hi-ho, Kermit the Frog here.
Kermit the Frog here. Oh,
am Kermit.
And now you guys have all the freedom you want.
What?
When do I do the indoor running of the bulls?
I can't watch.
Dominic, international tour manager.
Dominic, bad guy?
Badgie.
It's French.
French.
My name will go down in history as greatest thief of all time.
You mean our names, right?
Of course. My name first. In spacebar, 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 your name.
Hit it, boys.
This spring.
Do you guys think that Kermit's been acting a little weird lately?
That's ridiculous. He's never been more caring or devoted to me.
Yeah, that's what we're saying.
Ricky Gervais, Ty Burrell, and Tina Fey.
This is my cow. It is illegal now for its massive size.
Plus, so many Hollywood stars, it'll leave you wanting more.
Yeah, no more.
Waka waka.
There's only one guy in this world who can save us. Only one frog who can restore order.
Let's get out of here.
Bring justice and set things right.
You are talking about Kermit, right?
CIA.
Interpol.
This is my travel badge. Here's my real badge.
You must have been looking at the wrong badge.
You were saying?
Muppets Most Wanted.
Sigma!
I am not Constantine.
Lights on! Turn them back on. I can't see anything. You'll have to wait till I'm, like, out of the hallway. Everybody's
feeling hard. This looks like a fun movie. It definitely brings back that Muppets nostalgia. A lot of cameos. I'm a wait and see. I'm a maybe on this one. Let's throw this to Will first.
I never cared for a Muppet, so no thank you.
You're just a boring asshole.
Yeah, I just like Inception, that's all.
Kebbo Trek.
Probably a rental for me.
Heavy, this on your radar?
This is a motherfuck yeah. I went and seen the first one, the first one, like this new redone stuff with my girlfriend's brother. Me and her dad took her brother, and my girlfriend is so deathly afraid of Sweetums, the big hairy Muppet. She will not go see this movie. Like, she kind of freaks out when the trailer comes on. I'm excited. I love these little cameos and whatnot. And wrestling fans, did anybody spot Hornswoggle in the trailer?
Oh shit, no.
There's a jail scene, like it's really brief, and it looks like they're singing some sort of musical number, and Hornswoggle is right there in front. I mean, you can't miss him. You can because he's so short, but
it'll leave you wanting more.
Yeah, no more.
Waka waka.
There's only one guy.
Yeah, I'm gonna check that out later. Carp, is this on your radar?
Yeah, it's a Muppets, which I was a fan of, but the supporting cast is ridiculous. Tina Fey, Ty Burrell. Zach Galifianakis, Lady Gaga, Loki, Tom Hiddleston, Chloe Grace Moretz, Danny Trejo, Christoph Waltz, Ray Liotta. It's ridiculous. I think it'll pull in a better weekend than the last one did because there was a long separation between the last Muppet movie and the Muppets Go Hollywood or whatever with Jason Segel. Whereas this one's a lot closer. They just kind of did a world tour with the Just for Laughs stuff. I think it's going to be pretty successful, and I'd definitely like to try and catch it if I had a chance.
We actually have a side bet going. I'm guessing it's going to make under 40, and you're saying it's going to make over 40. Very ambitious bet. Get your money ready. You're going down. All right.
What if it makes 40 on the dot?
Then the universe will explode.
Yeah, then we each have to buy a round at the Blue Jays game in Montreal.
All right. Let's check out upcoming DVDs for this week.
DVD release.
Will, what's coming on DVD this week, buddy?
Okay, so this week we've got Contracted, which is a film about after a lapse in her relationship with her lover, forces 20-something party girl Samantha to move back in with her overbearing mother. Things seem to be at an all-time low. But the devil may care Samantha soon finds escape in a one-night stand with a mysterious man who leaves her hungover, guilt-ridden, and infected. Uncertain of the disease or the man who gave it to her. Samantha.
She has like syphilis.
Samantha.
It's called pregnancy. Because pregnancy is a disease.
Oh, God. Nice. Yeah, you just sunk to a new low on this show, Carp.
Anyways.
Oh, I can sink lower.
Samantha attempts to hide it from her loved ones, but she soon realizes that she is not just a victim of an STD, pregnancy, but rather the host of something much more catastrophic.
AIDS.
And that she and those around her are in mortal danger.
It's
a horror film. Anyways, we've got American Hustle, which is known very well for having been nominated for a bunch of stuff at the Oscars, but winning nothing at all. It's got Christian Bale, Amy Adams, Jeremy Renner, Jennifer Lawrence, and Bradley Cooper. We've also got...
Call them by their real names. Mystique, Batman. And Hawkeye.
Sure.
We've also got now the biggest... wait, so this is correct, right? This is the biggest animated movie of all time?
Not yet. I think it's going to overtake Toy Story in a bit.
Okay. Anyways, we've got what might be the biggest anime movie of all time, Frozen, coming out this week. I'm actually looking very forward to it. As a kid, I found the story of the Snow Queen really, really weird and intriguing. And this is fun to see a Disney take on it, even though it's not really that much related. There's also Saving Mr. Banks, which is with... is the other woman, is it Annette Bening?
I don't know.
It's either her...
It's Emma Thompson.
Emma Thompson, thank you, okay. Oh, and we also have Saving Mr. Banks with Emma Thompson and Tom Hanks about how Walt Disney tried to get the rights for Mary Poppins. We also have Swerve.
All right, thank you very much, Will. Let's check out Netflix.
This week in Netflix...
Not a lot on Netflix. We got a lot of good DVDs, so if you want to purchase some digital downloads, I'd really recommend that this week because not too much coming at this unless you want to catch up on some. So House of Cards, absolutely love it, especially the second season. What was that?
When you gave me shit for about I want to see True Detective before House of Cards, you're like, no, yeah, House of Cards, you got to see House of Cards.
Dude, the first episode of the second season, it's like, what? It was almost like Red Wedding level, I'm telling you. So yeah, on the American side, we've got Gattaca. And on the Canadian side, the only two basic interests is Company Men. We got Batfleck, Company Men. It's a decent drama. Definitely worth it considering you're not paying for it. And 13 as well. That's pretty much it. Not too much coming out on Netflix this week. But if you got some spare time, instead of checking out Netflix, you could check out The Carps. Bargain bin.
I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm looking for a come up. This is fucking awesome.
Harpoon carp.
Harpoon, or the original Icelandic name for the movie, Reykjavik Whale Watching Massacre.
Okay.
Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes does not have a score, so that's got to tell you something. Movie synopsis. A whale watching trip goes horribly awry for a group of unsuspecting tourists in this darkly comic Icelandic shocker starring Gunnar Hansen, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the guy who played Leatherface. After the captain of the whale-watching ship is badly injured and his first mate attempts to sexually assault a passenger, the terrified sightseers slide down a decommissioned whaling vessel and climb aboard. Little do the fleeing passengers realize that their presumed saviors are the worst kind of psychos imaginable. Now, the longer the tourists spend on the high seas, the slimmer their chances become of ever making it back to shore alive. Yeah, this is pretty not great in any way whatsoever. It's like it starts off, they're in Iceland, it's this chick and her friend, and they're checking out this metal band who's like a knockoff of Rammstein mixed with Slipknot. One chick goes to hook up with a guy, the other chick goes, sleeps, goes to whale watching. There's like... your stereotypical Asian who takes all the photos, who makes
all the peace signs and like pulling out a big map for no reason.
Well, yeah, he like took a billion pictures and he called his wife like a terrible woman in front of all these other tourists. There's a black guy. There's a blonde, bitchy American. There's the chick who gets sexually assaulted. And then when she ends up on the other ship, like becomes the affection of one of the psychopaths, like worst day ever. Character. Practical effects were good. There was one really over the top scene, like some people start getting killed on the psychopath ship. Asian guy leaves his wife behind, grabs a life jacket, jumps in the water, gets like old school harpoon through the chest. It looked like it was a little over the top, but I expected a more horror and I was not expecting dark comedy like it is now, so it kind of changed my outlook on it. It was fun. It was a good hour and 20 minutes of violence and making Icelandic people look like murderous psychopaths. So For me, it's a 4.5 whale watching experience is terribly gone wrong at a 10.
All right, so what's our homework for next week for the bargain bin, Carp?
I've got a few choices. I have this one, this British comedy called Inbred, and then Antiviral, which is Steve Soderbergh's kid, actually his feature film debut.
All right, so what are we voting on, Antiviral or Inbred?
Antiviral.
Antiviral 1.
Kev?
Let's do it.
Antiviral 2.
I'm going to go with Inbred.
Inbred. Old school. Heavy set?
Inbred.
Inbred. Oh, shit. It's a tie.
2-2. That means Carp's got to break it.
All right. Heads, Inbred, Tails, Antiviral.
Head, Inbred's going to give me head.
Tails, Antiviral.
Antiviral. All right. Everybody.
Quick note. Movie draft's over.
Oh, yeah. Let me guess. You won?
Yeah, I won by a lot.
Big surprise there.
$541 million for me. Second place would be Kevbo with $467 million. Third place would be Heavyset with $425. Old School $424, and Will in last place with $413. Because American Hustle bucked him.
You can keep your $10 then.
Yeah. Okay.
And Carp, you can keep the $10 you're going to give me at the end of the week when Muppets makes $39.8 million.
$39.99991. No.
If by the way, just for rent. Carp, I actually don't see the Muppets making more than $39 million. I just don't.
I'm hoping so.
Well, let's hope so, eh, Carp? All right, so for Crap, Carp.
Crap.
Heavy set.
You crapter.
You crapter. Carp, Heavy set, Kebbo, Trek, and the Cockman, Will. I'm Mr. Old School. Thank you very much for listening.
From lazy Adam Sandler comes yet another lazy, plotless, ported-out comedy that America will inexplicably pay to see. Grown-ups. Join an all-star cast of comedic actors and Rob Schneider as they dish out more of the mindless crap audiences love. Pee jokes.
Ow!
Poop jokes. Fart jokes.
Early.
More pee jokes. And more fart jokes. Prepare to give up your own hard-earned money to pay for these rich actors to go on vacation with their families. Seriously, this movie cost $80 million, and they shot it at a lake. It's lowest common denominator comedy at its laziest, substituting plot, wit, and character with guys getting hit in the face. Guys getting hit in the foot. Guys getting hit in the dick. And even more fart jokes. Journey along with these celebrity man babies as they attempt to become grown-ups. Lenny's got Adam Sandler problems. He's too rich and his wife is too hot. Kurt is African-American, but he can't play basketball. Higgs will have sex with anything, just like David Spade. Rob has two hot daughters that his friends creepily want to bang. And Fat Kevin James is fat.
You want to know what I fantasize about?
Yeah. Candy bars.
Did we mention he's totally fat?
17 burgers and 17 fries, okay? And that'll be just for me. What are you guys having?
So get ready for another lazy Adam Sandler movie full of the things you've come to expect. Product placement. Adam Sandler's friends. And jokes so devoid of humor, creativity, or effort.
I always wanted to represent you. You're the third Olsen twin?
You won't know when to laugh. But don't worry, they will.
Yes. I'll see you later.
All right, we got it. Okay, that's enough. It's really not funny, guys. Still not funny.
Wow.
Jeez, it's really not funny. Starring not Chris Farley. Also not Chris Farley. Every movie hates Chris. Las Bews. Adam Sandler's friend, whoever that cross-eyed dude is. And a carrot. Grown-ups. You know, if you see Grown-ups too, you're only encouraging him.
I want to get chocolate wasted.
No!
What's up? It is Heavy Set, and I'm here to tell you about Kayfabe Sports Radio, the home of the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks. On the Ohio Indie Report, I break down what's going on in the Cleveland scene of independent wrestling, from AIW to Prime Wrestling, and some of the little organizations in between that I can attend. And if you also like NFL football, be sure to check out NFL Easy Picks, hosted by myself and my good friend Joe Bennett, as we break down and talk about what is going on in football, and we make our picks on the coming week's games. And all this can be found at www.kfabesports.com. You can also find us on iTunes by searching Kayfabe Sports Radio. And while you're at kfabesports.com, be sure to check out the links for Kayfabe Sports Radio, Ohio Indie Report, and NFL Easy Picks on Facebook and Twitter. So for now, be sure to check out the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks on Kayfabe Sports Radio, where it's all a work.
Slamming your brain through a table of wrestling knowledge.
Oh my God!
The Spanish Announce Table.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.